Welcome to our Sunday school class this morning, and we continue with our series from Psalm 119. I want us to give reading to verses 157 through 160. Psalm 119, verses 157 through 160. Many are my persecutors and my adversaries. Yet I do not turn aside from thy testimonies. I behold the treacherous and loathe them, because they do not keep thy word. Consider how I love thy precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. The sum of thy word is truth, and every one of thy righteous ordinances is everlasting. This morning I want us to consider verse 158. David says, I behold the treacherous and I loathe them. And then he mentions this in particular about them. Because they do not keep thy word. There are various reasons why God's word is not kept. There are some who do not keep God's word out of neglect. Neglect. That's something we witness daily, frequently in our life, our own and the lives of others, throughout our contacts that we have with other people and situations. What does the word neglect mean? How would you define it? Well, I looked it up. To give little attention or respect to or to leave undone. Interesting. And I would dare say this morning that every one of us, myself included, are guilty of some form of neglect. Now, of this we can be sure of. Neglect will always result in consequences. Whatever that neglect might be, whatever area it might be. And I had the opportunity in my earlier adult life of working for the juvenile department. And at that time, the office that cared not only for delinquents, but for dependent and neglected children, was all in the same office there on Harry Hines Boulevard. And I guess one of the saddest things that I have been associated with in life is seeing the result of neglected children. And the condition that some children are in because of neglect. In fact, I had the opportunity sometimes of accompanying the social worker from our department that was going out to make visits to check on neglected children. And it can break your heart, really, to see the conditions that little children are in. And of course, we tried to remedy those conditions as much as we could. There are neglected neighborhoods. It seems like when we moved from Phoenix to North Carolina, several years later we were back in the same neighborhood we were living in before we moved to North Carolina. I couldn't believe the condition that over a period of years, just people neglecting the area, their homes. Shopping center, I think, had been closed because it was a place of crime. Out of all neglect. People neglect their health. Incrementally, they are paying a price. The condition that you see many times in people who have literally ruined their health out of sheer neglect. Lack of diet, lack of exercise, and all that goes with it. There are people who suffer because they neglect their finances. They don't take care of what they have. They don't spend it wisely. And they suffer the consequences. Others suffer the consequences because of it. Then there's spiritual neglect. Neglect of personal and corporate worship. Neglect of personal relationship with God and His Word. David says, we're in Psalm 119, verse 158. I behold the treacherous and loathe them because they do not keep thy word. Another category in which we can blame God's word not being kept. Really, in our day, is willful rejection. Out and out willful rejection, coupled with what we've just been discussing, careless neglect. This outright rejection, there are many so-called avowed atheists who spew out their hatred for God's word or any portion thereof. Certainly, they do not keep God's word. There's a rejection of God and His word to be found in literature, textbooks, and certainly, in the various areas of media which we have today. I've lived long enough to see media change and become more than a radio sitting on a table in your house. Remember when TV first came out? And we didn't have shopping centers then. We had big department stores downtown with big showrooms and street level. And they had put the TVs in there when they came out. And people would gather there and stand and watch TV through the plate glass when they're in the showroom. And my neighbor had one, and they were kind enough to sometimes to invite us to come in. And watch a bit of TV. to what it is today in terms of media, it's mind-boggling. But much of today's media is communicating atheism. It's flooding the society. Now, let's return back to the area we mentioned earlier, neglect. Remember the definition that we have of neglect: little attention, little respect, leave undone. Let's think about little attention. Perhaps we could add the word or no attention, as well as little. Now, no doubt, in various settings of our growing up and even adult life, we have heard these words, "I want your undivided attention." Undivided. What do we mean by undivided? Well, we mean complete and total. We don't want you to be distracted by anything else. We want all of it. We want your focus to be on what is being said. That's a task to obtain the undivided attention of children. My daughter has worked with children all her life. And I had the opportunity, they were holding a Bible club on Saturdays when they were living in Arlington. And I had the opportunity of going out and sitting in the room where they were having a Bible club for children. And it was interesting to watch my daughter, who has had years of experience in working with children, of how she could manipulate and control and guide these children to listen to the Bible lesson. There's an art to it. And the Lord has blessed her with that gift. And I enjoyed being there. Now, undivided, complete, total. It is possible that due to not giving undivided attention to the Word of God, we are guilty of not keeping it. As one of the consequences. This means that we must guard carefully time and place in our encounter. Time and place with our encounter with God's Word. Because you see, the time and place that will afford us the best advantage of giving our undivided attention to God's Word. We know the importance of that in other areas of life, do we not? Why do we have libraries, particularly on university campuses, that are quiet and you can find a place to do your homework? Why? Well, because there's this thought of, I've got to give my attention to this. So there's no televisions, there's no media, hopefully, It's quiet. Nobody talking loud and joking and carrying on. Everybody realizes we're here for a purpose. And that purpose requires attention. And attention requires quietness and being undisturbed. As opposed to trying to do your homework in your dorm room. People coming in and out to see the other people that live in your room and who knows what. And you're working on some difficult homework, history, math, science, demanding your attention. That's one of the problems that the men that I work with in prison face. Is privacy and quietness. Just a few minutes of it a day to be alone where it's quiet. It's not really possible in that setting. No privacy, no quietness. How about mothers and fathers with young children in the house? Well, it depends on you a lot because your children can be trained and disciplined. But for the most part, children require your attention most of the time. So it's difficult. How can a mother of young children find that time to be with God in prayer, reading His Word? I mentioned students in the dormitory. At Bob Jones, we had an area back on the back part of the campus. They were nicknamed practice shacks. And it was a row of small rooms with pianos. And if you were a voice student, you could go there. If you were taking some other instrument, you could go there. I think every one of them had a piano in them. And they were open, they were never locked. So many of us would get up early in the morning and make our way across campus to the practice shacks as a place to be alone with God and read the Bible and pray. And so we had our time of undivided attention with the Lord. Turn with me to Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. And in the early morning, while it was still dark, He, our Lord, arose and went out and departed to a lonely place and was praying there. Our Lord went to the extra effort to get up very early and to find a place where He could be alone with God. Time and place. Undivided attention. There's another area that I want us to consider. It's not only the outward distractions, but there are inner distractions that can undermine our time with God and His Word. They rob us of the greatest benefit that we can have and enjoy. Inner turmoil. What causes it? Well, various circumstances. Could be your personal finances. Could be health issues. Could be personal relationships on various levels of life. Work. Unresolved issues. Pressures. These can so easily preoccupy us that we are actually distracted from focusing on God's work. Now, it is here that we must be aware of the need to commit these concerns to the Lord in such a way that it relieves us, at least for that time, of being preoccupied, so much so that we really don't derive any benefit in our Christian life, in our spiritual life. Actually, we have scriptural warrant to do just that. It's found in 1 Peter 5:7. Let's look at it. 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your anxiety out the window. No. Upon him. I like that. See the personal aspect to it? Him. And then there's a reason. Because he cares for you. Again, I'm compelled to mention the men in prison. One of the problems, as we have mentioned, is that a lot of the cases, nobody cares about them. They're rejected. And that brings a great deal of turmoil in anyone's life. Think how important it is right now as you sit here. Who are the ones that care for you? Who are the ones that care for you? How much does that mean to you as a person, as a human being? How much more does that mean to us when we know that God cares for me personally? Whatever's troubling me, whatever's disturbing me, turn with me to, in your hymn book, to hymn 688. Let's look at a couple of stanzas of this hymn based on this scripture. 688. Yes, for me he careth. With a brother's tender care. Yes, with me. He shareth every burden, every fear, Yes, o'er me he watches, ceaseless watches, day, night and day. Yes, in me he snatcheth from the perils of the way. And then based on his intercession, yes, for me he standeth pleading at the mercy seat above, ever for me interceding, constant in untiring love. Yes, in me he dwelleth, in him, and he in me. And my empty soul he filleth, here and through eternity. What a wonderful hymn. Scriptural. And then I'm sure we know the words to "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. You see, that's the effective way of dealing with inner turmoil. Fear, worry, preoccupation needs to be handled properly and rightly and biblically. Three characteristics of neglect: little attention, little respect, and to leave undone. Let's talk about little respect. How would you define the word respect? Well, I looked it up. Giving particular attention, high or special regard, thirdly, highly esteemed. Special regard. Special regard is seen in our acknowledgement of the fact that the Word of God is to have supreme authority, highest authority. I think we're seeing an erosion of the idea of authority. Who are you to tell me what to do? Is the attitude. This supreme authority. Our confession is specific on that, because our confession says the Holy Scripture is the only, not one among many, it is the only sufficient, certain, and infallible. Look at those words. Sufficient, certain, infallible. Rule of three areas of life: saving knowledge, faith, and obedience. Boy, that says a lot. If we were to unpack that, we'd be here a long time. But we're going to at least explore it. Saving knowledge, faith, and obedience. When you stop to think about it, those are the things that really matter. Issues that really matter. They are vital areas of life. What do we mean by vital? Well, that's supreme importance. What do we mean when we say his vital signs are weak? Well, we mean his heart's weak, his lungs are weak, he's dying due to the lack of strength in his vital systems. I'm saying, dear people, we're naming three areas that are vital. Saving knowledge, faith, obedience. So when you hear the Word of God preached, or when you hear, or when you read it yourself for your own devotions, there are three areas of vital concern. What does this tell me about saving knowledge? What does this portion of Scripture tell me about faith? What does this portion of Scripture teach me about some area of obedience in my walk with God? Now at least you're focused on three areas. Let's think about saving knowledge. Nothing is more crucial than saving a knowledge when it comes to focusing our attention, because saving knowledge involves eternity. It involves a lot of other things, as we'll probably mention. But of course it involves the eternal destiny of your soul. That's not to be toyed with. It's vital. And we need to realize, take the words of Christ to Nicodemus. Or not to Nicodemus, I'm sorry. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm not one of the ways. I'm not part of the truth. I'm not anything but total in these areas. Now, that has to do with saving knowledge. How much time do we spend actually thinking about Christ in terms of his being the truth? And flesh that out in your mind and in your heart. Life and death verses demand our special high regard. There's a second area that we mentioned, and that's faith. What does that refer to? Well, I believe we could say that it refers to the doctrinal teachings of the Scripture. It's the body of faith, of God's truth. Included in that are what we call cardinal doctrines. What are some of the cardinal doctrines? Virgin birth. Non-negotiable. The divine inspiration of the scriptures. Cardinal doctrine. The vicarious atonement of Christ on the cross. His substitutionary death and vicarious atonement. Do you know what those words mean? Do you know how to define those words as being true of Christ's death? Non-negotiable truth. His bodily resurrection from the tomb. The word bodily is crucial. These are cardinal doctrines, foundational to our faith. How much time do we give to them? How much do we think about them? How much do we perhaps even meditate on them? The truths set forth in our confession of faith. Confession of what? Faith. So we're talking about this area of faith. Why would that be attached to our confession of faith? Confession of faith. Because we're talking about a body of truth of what we believe in and why we believe it. Some, we've referred to them often as those things most surely believed among us. The truths which most honor God and most humble man. Do we know them? Do we know them in such a way that they actually have some influence upon our thinking? Have some influence upon our conduct and our way of life? Do they mean that to us? We've also mentioned, thirdly, obedience. Our confession uses that word. The Holy Scripture is the only sufficient, certain, and infallible rule of all saving knowledge, faith, and obedience. Crucial. Carrying out practically and obeying the revealed will of God. David describes in our text those who do not keep thy word. They do not obey it. So, there are two categories of not keeping God's word. Willful rejection, careless neglect. We've defined careless neglect as giving little attention to or respect to and then to leave undone. Turn with me to James 1. James chapter 1 and verse 22. James, I have often commented, is painfully practical. And here, James 1, verse 22, but prove yourselves doers. Doers of the word. And not merely hearers, who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer. Wow. this man shall be blessed in what he does. Well, how else can we state it? It's to actually put it into practice. In whatever area God brings to your heart and mind in your time with him or in the preaching of his word, put some shoe leather to it. Practice it. Make it real. Whatever that area. And seek to grow in the area of truth. The various areas. How about the death of Christ? How about the moral law? How about Bible history? How about the various characters of the Bible? How about the mortification of sin? How about prayer? What about Romans chapter 6? Do you have any idea what you find in Romans 6? The profound doctrines that are there in that one chapter? Those, dear people, things that we are mentioning here require your undivided attention to learn them, to think about them, to meditate upon them, to make specific application of them in some area of your life so that there is growth and maturity taking place in your life. David points out for us those who do not keep God's word. Let's be keepers of God's word. Let's pray. Our gracious God, we pray now that you will use these words and truths to bring about greater conformity to your revealed will on a daily basis, a weekly, a yearly basis. Significant growth and maturity in our life, that we not be numbered among those who do not keep your word. We ask in Christ's name, amen.